First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Woodall, to my Andrew
McKinley. Bryce.
We're not spherical.
We haven't even started.
This is perfect.
Let it roll.
Here we are.
Let it roll.
I'm Bryce Armstrong.
I already said Bryce. All you had to say is Armstrong.
Bryce Armstrong. I'm Brett Wells.
Me Momo Tim Heidecker. It's free real estate.
We got the best, lowest prices in town at discount prices.
You don't want them discount prices. I'm going to feed my family with those prices. You want premium prices.
We're back.
$40 for $39.99.
We are back.
How y'all doing?
Oh,
better now.
Yeah. Oh.
That was great.
I'm all right.
Who should we start with? How's everyone's
dude? You picked on me last time, and you pick on someone else this week.
All right. Hey, hey, Bryce, how you doing?
No. Brett, how are you?
Better now. Better now. No, it is. As we record, it is the evening of, I guess, Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday, whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like next year. That's fine.
It's going to be a while.
So yeah. Happy belated Easter, everybody.
Happy belated. No, it's good to be together. It's good to celebrate Christ's resurrection, and you know, it was a good week actually. The Lord really delivered me from some interpersonal stuff, which was great. Thanks for all of you that prayed for me in that, and it just was better from there. So it's always a busy week with a couple of services and being involved, ironically enough, in the topic for tonight, which will be about the worship service, which we'll get to. But it was busy because we had a couple of those this week. So it's good to be relaxing, though.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Who's next on the chopping
Brandon.
Block?
You're next.
Yeah, how are you, Brandon? We're going out of order.
I'm supposed to finish it. All right. I'm doing all right. I'm not too bad. If anyone gives a crap, I've lost 12 pounds.
I'm so proud.
Where'd it go?
Do you need help finding it?
Yeah. It's probably in the drain. That's poop.
You poop it out.
That's not been too bad. Not bad at all. I can't really say anything negative, so.
That's good.
I mean, that's what sells. Drama.
We're not selling anything.
Hey, if you guys want to buy our stuff, we got nothing for you.
We have our voices.
But no, it's been pretty good, so.
That's good.
That's good.
Life is good.
Praise God.
Yummy in my tummy.
Andrew, how was your week?
The jacuzzi of God.
You're going to say that right after he says yummy in my tummy.
Yeah, well.
You're going to keep transitioning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
So, yeah, it was a good week. A lot of stuff going on, like Brett said, with the worship stuff. And two services, a lot of extra work, and then just a busy week at the normal actual job, too. So I'm glad that it is now Sunday night. And it has all been gotten through. And it is, nice to relax a little bit. But, I mean, God's good. He refreshes you. He gives you strength when you don't have any left. And I rolled out of it mostly unscathed.
Proud.
Yeah. I feel good.
Unscathed. It's funny because none of it's true, Mister. I had to buy a new car this week.
Okay, so yeah, there were a couple complications.
That's so true. You were so mad on Wednesday.
But it all worked out. Yeah, okay, so I had a car that like has chronic broken windshield syndrome, and I don't know.
Chronic? The same windshield.
I've had the back glass bust out of it.
Three.
This would have been four. This is four brakes. It would have been my fifth rear windshield in it if I replaced it, but instead we're like, let's get a new car. And so, yeah.
I saw that car tonight. It was pretty nice. Got lots of leg room.
Mm-hmm.
I could actually fit.
I can drive from the back seat. Not that really. Sounds... No. That's ridiculous.
That sounds like it's actually really short.
Stop believing me. That's weird.
Okay.
But yeah, no. So a good week after all said and done. And like I said, God's good. There's a lot of people that have to deal with much worse situations than I have ever been exposed to. So I am grateful, thankful for how God has been good to me. So yeah, in the long run, little problems. Big God.
Not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Bryce.
I'm fine.
Let's go on. Thanks. One more time with feeling.
After all of that.
One more time with feeling.
I'm good. There's not really been a whole lot going on.
School.
Oh, that's right. I started school. It hasn't been that big of a deal, though.
Yeah, it's cool.
Like, I haven't had to get up early. I haven't had to go back to bed super late. It's just been, like, so far, it's been fine. It's probably going to get harder, but I'm 2 weeks in, so.
Yeah. It's mostly wavy. It'll be up and down. If I had to guess.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as I get into some heavy editing stuff, I'm sure it'll be much more difficult. But right now, it's a gen ed class, so I write papers. I'm good at English, so thank you.
You've been speaking it for years.
Proficiency.
The Lord has been super good to us, so I cannot complain about literally anything right now.
Good.
Good.
We're glad to hear that.
It's great. Now moving on into our next topic.
And that is? Oh, gosh.
I don't know. I thought in the festivities of our current episode, we could maybe just find some jokes about worship.
I like it.
This is just going to be a bash on Hillsong because it's not going to be that hard.
Oh, shoot. Wow.
I could tell choir jokes. Choir jokes.
I just looked up jokes. So,
how many altos does it take to screw in a light bulb? We don't know. They can't get that high.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Happy to help. I'll be here all week.
This one says, what did the dyslexic person worship? Santa. All right.
Andrew's unamused.
I'm unamused. It's just late.
It's not even 10.
It's not even that late.
It's late in the week.
It's late in this week. Why do pagans make the best husbands and wives? Because they'll worship the ground you walk.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, that's better. I like that.
Could have gone sideways.
I like that one. That should be about Wicked.
Well, this is a good one.
Ooh.
What kind of cow do Hindus living in Russia worship? A mosque cow.
So is that a cow covered in moss?
I'm assuming. It's like a tree. It's like a tree cow.
A tree cow.
It points to the north. This one's good.
I hope so.
God bless America. What do capitalists worship? Profits.
It's way too true.
It's way too true.
It's funny on every level. Every level.
Are there any that are good?
Some of these were all right. I'm just trying to find some...
It's a middle school diss. It was so funny, Andrew forgot to laugh.
Burn.
Funny enough, with the ADD, I might.
This one would probably relate to most people. What is the name of a Jehovah's Witness's place of worship? Your doorstep. It's not that good.
It's not that
it's
good.
So stupid.
I think they're called Kingdom Halls.
There's a couple down. There's a couple down the block.
So good.
So, is that it?
Most people love dogs, but dyslexic people worship them.
Is that it?
I don't know.
Bryce is done, just to be clear.
Just a few ago.
I don't know that Bryce ever started.
Nah.
One more. Why are Adams Catholic? Because they have Mass.
Mm. Oh, A-T-O-M.
And a Catholic. That's really our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Science and Catholicism.
Science and Catholicism. I mean, boom.
That's like the whole spectrum of history, yeah, right?
Bread
there.
And it's butter.
Like you either did one or the other.
I don't know if this is offensive, but two blondes walk into a tanning salon. The receptionist asks, "Are you two sisters?" They chuckle and reply, "No, we're not even Catholic."
That was funny, actually. That one was good. I'll give you that one.
Hey,
Brett.
I'm taking over. This is my podcast to be able to ask you guys questions about being worship leaders. So for those listening that don't know, the three gentlemen that surround me at this table all had their teeth cut in ministry by doing primarily worship ministry, music ministry specifically. So when we say worship in this context, I know we've spent some time defining that worship is for all of life, but we're narrowing the scope of that definition to the worship service. So specifically the production of the songs and the singing aspect of a Sunday morning.
I don't sing.
Service. Well, that's true, but I mean, it's all part of that.
Yes.
But we want to find out. I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know about you. And I don't care if I'm the only inquiring mind. I want to know. And maybe everybody else will too. But here's the first question. I want to go around the table and hear your answer. How did you get into worship ministry? That's what we'll call it today. The ministry of producing
music.
The corporate music for corporate worship. How about that? Music. And we're going to start with Andrew.
Ooh,
because
right.
I don't want to do Bryce because he gets all worked up.
I don't even care. I have most of my answers ready.
Oh, nice.
He gets the bends. I prepared zero.
I mean, I read
you start.
I read the questions and I know my answers.
There we go. Yeah. Boom.
I'm ready to go off the cuff. All right. So how? I was, I believe, 16, and I had just been attending a youth group at a church that I was not a member yet, and my family wasn't going to. I was just going to it with some friends.
A girl. And,
yes. Yeah. The girl's not my wife, so we don't talk about it, okay?
Sorry.
No, it's all good. Yeah, we're good. But, yeah, so the youth pastor said, hey, we're going to put together a youth worship team. I was a choir nerd in high school, so I decided to I thought it would be fun. So I said, I think I just went in there saying Amazing Grace like everybody else. And he said, all right, yeah, we're going to put you on the team. Here's a bass guitar. You're going to sing and do this. And then that's kind of how I got started. And from there, it just kind of evolved. I was went from being on the youth team to leading the youth team after that youth pastor left. And then the guy in charge of the worship team for Sunday morning heard me playing a couple times, said, hey, come play the guitar once in a while up there for us. So by now I had like self-taught a couple different instruments out of necessity. And then stuff rearranged a little bit. And I kind of eventually was leading the worship team at that church. And then I got called into church planting to lead music with a church planter who moved here from down south. And it's just, yeah, it just kind of evolved very organically for me. Just kind of all that.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. You did a lot more than I planned on saying, but all right.
Well, then we'll go to you next. What do you got? Bryce, how did you get into worship ministry?
How? did I? I went to the same church as Andrew. I started when I was in sixth grade.
Far too young to be handling the Lord's music.
It was, yeah. It was, just kidding. It was something.
Justin Bieber was young and he started playing worship music or K-pop or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so I was in sixth grade under the same youth pastor as Andrew, and he threw some drumsticks at me, said, "Hey, let's play some drums. Let's figure this out." I had technically been playing the drums since I was five, so it wasn't that complicated. But for some reason, in that context, me playing, I could not get 1, 2, 3, 4 straight in my head, and I would play 1 and 3 and 2 and 4 backwards. So my snare was on 1 and 3, and my kick was on 1 and 3 or 2 and 4. It was backwards. Whatever I just said.
That's how you let Satan.
Yeah, it was backwards. Ironically, you know? I own a Diablo drum set now, and here we are.
That's a great drum set.
It's beautiful. His name is Travis.
His name is Travis. Shout out Travis Bly. Love you. No, Travis Bly. I started when I was in sixth grade playing on a worship team, and then I also progressed into playing in the adult worship service. And
it was all at the same church?
All at the same church, yep. And there's a lot more to that story, but that's how I got in.
All right.
Yep.
I'm coming back to you because I have another question for you about that. But you, Brandon, how did you get into the worship music scene?
I started doing worship technically through a hardcore band I was in. That's kind of how we wrote the songs. We're worshipful, but it was just heavy. And it kind of morphed into us starting a worship team because there was a need at our
church. You already had the band, then you got into worship.
For it. Yeah, so it kind of it morphed into this, like, worship team. And that was at my grandfather's church for, a really long time, it seemed like. We started a youth group, which the youth group blew up, and then we needed to have a worship team, so we do worship too. And then did that, and then I moved from there to a local church and was on the team there, and that morphed to going and also doing like a church plant kind of thing where I was in charge of the music and tech, and then now I'm just chilling.
Doing your own thing. I like it. Coming back to Bryce.
Yes.
So for those people that are part of the worship service that don't do the music, but maybe do the recording or the audio, the soundboard, I know that's been a big part of what you do. How did you get into that?
I don't know. How did I get into that?
That wasn't on our list.
It seemed like
I was trying to think.
It almost seemed, if I'm right, we had a lot of, because we did worship nights together. And that kind of accumulated a lot of...
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I was kind of... So tech comes super easy to me. So, like, running any of this, like, I do all of this production. It's not that hard for me. So, like, it just came natural that I would touch a soundboard, and it wasn't hard. I ran it.
That's pretty much how we did stuff. He'd go do the soundboard, get it set, run up, and then do
what's
the drums.
What's interesting is, like, because my perception was... I knew you first as a tech guy, and not, I didn't even know you drummed till well after.
Yeah, I didn't talk about that.
No, well, I get that. I don't talk about that.
No, yeah, I am.
Never tell somebody in your church what you do unless you want to do it for the next 20 years.
I am primarily, I mean, my job is in tech, so I mean, my job is literally audiovisual. So, tech just comes super natural to me. So, yeah, at that church that I grew up in and was on the worship team, we'd never had anyone really run sound. So between me, Andrew, and another guy, we would set the soundboard and run back up on stage and play. It just kind of happened. And then when I switched to a different church that Brandon and I went to, I ended up as the unofficial tech director. So it just was really, I don't know, just always there.
It seems like it's... A lot of seems organic.
It was a lot of DIY. And now here I am in school for it. So because
Yeah.
Why not?
Exactly.
Why not?
So it sounds like all of you guys got into this mun because of a youth pastor who was pushy and you out of, I think, just a need. Did you guys ever feel like a call from God to go into worship ministry?
No.
Eventually.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay. Maybe.
Well, obviously we can't speak for God, but I mean, some people, I mean, I think it's interesting to see guys that do ministry, because I would say something about I never felt called. I felt, I don't want to say guilted, but I felt like it was something I needed to do. It didn't feel much like a from the mountaintop call, just like you kind of stepped in and did it.
Just because you're a natural musician.
Yeah. Well, mine's not music, what I was talking about, but for you guys, I mean.
Well, I mean, you are a natural musician, but.
Allegedly.
I mean, the trumpet this morning, I mean, let's just be honest.
How did you get into worship trumpet?
Dude, that was so good. Anyway.
I think maybe God called me to do like music and it just morphed into.
Like music for him.
Like a word. Yeah. So I don't, like I said, I can like pinpoint times that maybe it was that way. But it was I don't know.
I was never like this big revealing moment of like, oh yes, this is what God has me doing in the church and serving the church. It was just something I did, like, and I was good at it. So, yeah.
You said eventually. What does that mean, Andrew?
Well, I mean, just looking back, I wasn't a believer when I started leading worship, which is very
interesting,
weird to think of. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I'll tell you what, I mean, I had been going to church my whole life, but I spent most of it growing up in a church that didn't really preach the gospel, and we've gone over that before. But I knew enough to be good at faking it, I guess, and somewhere down the road, I mean, I was like, I never really stepped down from the worship team, but at some point, God actually saved me, and I mean, I'm sure it changed in ways that I wasn't just aware of at the time, but I think that sometime into taking charge of the Sunday morning worship team at that first church, I felt like that was something that, like, when we prayed over it, we had some, this is kind of when we had a group of people leave. And I kind of had to decide, am I going to stay or am I going to head out with them? And if I stay, do I want to keep doing this? And just praying on it and the circumstances and just anytime I got in the word about it, everything seemed to lead to this is what you're supposed to be doing. And at that point, it really did feel like a calling. And from that moment, anytime anyone would ever ask, so what is your dream job if you could just do whatever and get paid for it? And it'd be to be an on-staff, like, full-time worship pastor at a church would be the job that doesn't feel like a job for me.
That's still true today.
That would,
dude, oh, yeah. I mean, if,
I'm not trying to, like, weren't excited to do that. I don't think that's ever going to be a thing there. But, I mean, if they ever did, I'd be like,
I want to speak towards Andrew and give you props for seeking God in that. Just so I was in that group that left in that exodus of people, and I mean, you guys know our family's super close, and so the fact that they didn't leave, even though, you know, we left and went to an AG church, so it's a lot different, but they could have gone anywhere else. They didn't leave. They stayed there because God called them to stay there and truly sought out what they were supposed to do with their lives and where they're supposed to be at church. And to speak towards Andrew's leadership, I've been under Andrew multiple times in
physically and under leadership.
He's literally sat on top of me.
We wrestled.
Not even a lie.
Wrestle.
I've been under Andrew's leadership a lot, and it is, God has given him a natural ability to lead in that setting. And yeah, it's, so if, you know, somebody ever wants to actually hire him full time, I plug.
Can I addendum that just a little bit? I don't have any natural leadership ability, but God lets it happen anyway.
God's given
it's
ability.
It's I don't even think that it's like there. I think this is a true in my weakness, it shows his strength kind of thing. That's cause cool. I have no, like, if anyone ever asked me, like, who would be a good person to be in charge of this, I'd be like, well, not me, obviously. Who else?
You mean
like Paul? that is my knee jerk reaction to like anything.
Moses.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So I get where you're going with that. But yeah, like I have never.
The guy who can't talk.
I'm so glad it's not me doing it.
I've never felt qualified to
That's
lead.
That's great. I have felt that you and, have been qualified.
And other people have said the same thing. So, like, I know that God's doing something great that's, like, beyond my comprehension.
You're also incredibly humble. So that's probably part of it. But,
yeah. I guess.
You also don't believe in yourself as much as you probably should. Yeah,
that's for sure.
Who likes taking compliments?
I hate it not so yet. Much.
Yeah, it's, I don't like it either. I mean, if you say it, I'm not going to turn down, but.
I might.
Well, you don't know me very well. That's my answer. All right, so now we know.
Yeah,
it sounds like we know why Andrew continues in worship ministry. It seems like he's definitely experienced a call and a desire to continue to serve the Lord. Why do you two gentlemen still find yourself serving wherever you end up going to church in the worship ministry?
Wherever.
No, I mean, that wasn't like a dig, but I mean like.
No. You said wherever you end up going to church.
I mean, you've been a couple places and you guys have landed on the worship team.
I see what you're saying.
A couple times.
I got you. Do you want to go? Or do you want to go?
Like repeat offenders.
So I, yeah, I mean, like you said, people find out that I do things and there's a hole to fill and they find out the ability, they find out what I can do. And so I will be honest, there are multiple times that I have not sought out God and I just wanted it because it was something to do and I enjoyed it. But I will say in this moment at the church that I attend now, it was my wife and I seeking God and saying, hey, is this something that I should be doing? Because I was adamant that I didn't want to jump on and do something because I killed myself at my last church doing everything for everybody all of the time. And it destroyed a lot of my life because of it. And so... And it's not a dig on them. It's 100% my decision and what I did. But I could not do that to my family again. And I know my personality. So fortunately, my wife is the way she is. And I play once a month. And it's fine because our church is incredible and they're lenient and they are understanding and they get family values. And so... When I say I can play once a month, they're like, okay, cool. That's fine. So, yeah.
Nice. Brandon, you're just doing me a solid. About 6 months ago. Is that why you're on the team now?
So,
yes.
No, like, maybe. But
because you don't know how to say no.
That's not true.
No, you definitely know how to say no.
No, I know how to say no now. I was probably a yes man before, but I was also seeking probably more fame for myself than anything. And that just, yeah. So I've been out of like, say church leadership music wise for going on 2 years now. And I still don't feel very settled in to like doing it more. I guess like worship more. And just cause I have a tainted view of it and God's still working on me with that and through that. I think I was doing things either just for people over like actually seeking what God wanted for me. And it really like, it probably messed me up a lot more than I know, but, and this isn't a dig, but I think this is like a general idea. If you go to a bigger church and you say, hey, I want to do this, it's not like they're going to tell you
definitely
no.
Not going to tell you
so no. They'll just let you do it, you know? So, not
it
like
could be
not
any church, right? I mean,
that, but, it can be anywhere. If someone someone comes in and has talent and they're like, well, that sounds awesome. And like I said, I've always been, how do I say this? little bit more like artistic with how I do things, and I always want good quality music, but also like I've had this desire to like write my own stuff too and not be a karaoke artist, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I just kind of been my mentality. So right now, the reason why I do it is because I love my church and I want to serve my church with the gifts that I've been given. Even if I'm reluctant to sometimes to do so.
Oh, I want to play guitar. I want to play drums when you play guitar, which hasn't happened in a while. So.
If only someone sitting here made the schedule.
That'd be really neat.
Brett.
I've had not to get too like personal, I guess, but I've had to like wrestle with even like wanting to play music anymore. Just because of some of my experiences I've had. And so like I'm coming around, it's coming back around that I'm finding more joy to pick up my guitar and write my own stuff or just play in general. So just by the grace of God that I think he knew I needed to like maybe fall back in love with like the art in some ways and not associate it with the past.
Well, this brings me to my next question, because I have three men with varying experiences in multiple churches, different kinds of churches, different types of services. So through all of that, what type of convictions do you hold about a worship service? And what I mean by that is, what do you think a good worship service looks like? What are things that you would feel like would need to be part of a worship service? So if you were planning a worship set or you're doing those types of things, you know, what are you looking for? What are your deepest convictions about how a worship service should either be structured or the heart behind it? You can't take that question however you want, because it's a big question. Mm-hmm. But how would you go about, like, for example, like while you're thinking, so I'm a regulatory principle guy, which means that I only subscribe to what the scripture says should be done in a worship service. So for me, the singing of songs or hymns or spiritual songs, the preaching of God's word, prayer, those are my convictions. But I don't have a lot of convictions about what types of songs or the length of a set or anything. I am very much unopinionated about stuff like that, stuff that the Bible doesn't speak to. And I think you guys could maybe be really opinionated about stuff like that. So we all agree that we're not going to throw out the sermon to have a skit. I mean, that's the definition of the regulatory principle. Like, we're not doing that kind of stuff, but like
psalms and spiritual songs and fog machines.
Right, right. Yeah. We're not.
Because the fog machine.
And we've been doing it wrong.
It needs moisture.
The Holy Spirit.
And our church has been doing it wrong for so long. And I'm glad so you're all here to straighten me out. But
we'll fix it.
Don't what are worry. Your What are your convictions about the nuts and bolts of a worship service? Who wants to take that one first? Andrew, that sounds great. I know.
I got you. Yeah,
that's fine.
I got you.
I'll go last.
So I think I agree with you on the regulatory principle. I think that that's why we do it. I mean, there's no music that's good enough to be worthy of the God that we worship. So why are we doing it if not because we're commanded to? You know, that's kind of what I get from that. So do what the Bible says, because that's why we're doing it. And then I think along with that, if you are responsible for the planning or arranging of the service, I've got kind of a hierarchy that I go through, and that is just the priorities. And the first priority is that as a worship leader, you are leading your congregation to the foot of the throne. And that you're just creating, facilitating that to happen, while doing it yourself. So I think that it should be, your priority should be God first, then your team and the congregation, I think, is kind of two layers on the same level there. And then the music should be third or less. Which kind of, I know, would seem backwards to some people for a music ministry, but I just really feel like if you're not focused on, first off, just paying attention to the worth of God. If you're putting that further down on the list, then you're not doing it right. If you're not concerned with your worship team and with your congregation, then you're not leading well. So worship leader, that's step one, step two. And then the music is just the media that we happen to use for leading worship. So I don't know, that's just always been a very important thing for me, that it goes in that order. So when you mix that up, stuff goes wrong.
Bryce, what would you add to that?
Lot.
Oh, okay. All right.
Bring it.
I'll see.
I agree with everything you said. I also, because I do love tech so much, I enjoy different aspects of things. There are certain things in music. There are certain things in tech that are utilized to make things better and simpler and make things less distracting. I'm not going to go into detail because it can get mean, but there.
I would like to add that, like, even though music, I think, is like third on the list, it is still something you should strive to do well, because you are doing it for God. You're doing it for the Lord.
We'll come back to
it. It should be. Yeah. Yep. I'll say that might be later on. Yeah.
There's just a lot that exists that can be utilized, and that makes you a better musician, and therefore you can be less of a distraction. You can be less, stand outy as well. When a song is played the way it's written, songs are written a certain way to be less distracting and to bring you into lyrics that are pointed back towards the Bible. There are other songs that totally jack that up and just have lyrics to sound pretty and they're not biblical at all and they just manipulate you, and that's not okay. But there are a lot of those that can be utilized that churches don't take advantage of, or that some churches take way too much advantage of. And they use it as a manipulation tool, and that's not okay either. So, I don't know. There's something also about, in my opinion, about lighting being straining. There's just a lot that your mind can focus on when it's not stark white and when things aren't pitch black. Like, there's something in the middle of that that help the brain relax so it can not be as strained. But that's maybe just my ADHD firing and distracted. I could be one of the only people in the world.
Don't be distracted. Got it. Try not to be distracting. I like that. Brandon, what do you got? The question was, what convictions do you hold about a worship service?
Songs need to point back to Jesus and not ourselves. A lot of songs are about us now. A lot of modern ones. Good quality, I would say. And the thing that bothers me the most, if I go to a church and I go and I see the musical team, and they don't really care how it sounds, they just do it. I'm like, no. You need to have good, you need to strive to be better and better, because I think being a good steward of the gifts that we were given, that plays into a healthy congregation. So if you have someone up there that just doesn't care, or just never seems to want to get better, or doesn't put the time and the effort and the practice in, I'd say there needs to be a conversation about that. If you're not really trying to get better, not because you want to be a rock star, but more it's just do you even care at that point? So I'd say striving to be better with our skills. I would almost say the future of worship to me would be to get away from the rock, the rock show. And because I think we've gotten to the point where, yeah, we want to be approachable with our music. We want to have good quality music and stuff. But when the lines of secular concerts and stuff have been blurred with Christian music, I think we've lost something because we're trying to sound too much like other.
It's true.
Like, too much like things that aren't supposed to be there. And then we start getting into, like, was it modalism?
Oh.
And we start worshiping ourselves, and we become narcissistic, and that we think that the worship is, and how the team is and what the team wears and stuff like that is about appealing to myself. And that's not true. It's like, if you're too busy critiquing like what the stage looks like and what the people on the stage look like, I would say there's a problem with your heart, because it's not about that. It's not about curating a certain look or a certain image for your church. It's about growing deeper with the Lord. You know, that's what it's about. It's not about, like I said, it's not about being trendy. Yeah. It's about becoming deeper.
If somebody's wearing a suit on stage and somebody else is wearing raggedy clothes, who cares? If that's who they are, if that's the what they're bringing to God, and that's and if they're still worshiping Him, why does it matter?
Yeah. We have different convictions on like clothing, but like this clothing thing is, like I said, has become something that's curated.
It's such an Americanized
celebrant in a way.
It's really unfortunate.
Well, this is my question then.
It's consumerism kind of thing.
I mean, worship leaders are being part of a worship ministry team. So I'm like, how do we, it sounds like what you're saying, and maybe I'm leading you guys because I know all of you, but like, we want to go to great lengths to not create a rock concert.
Mm-hmm.
We want to create worship, like you're saying. So what steps can we take to try and keep the rock concert, the look at me, this isn't an act of corporate worship. Mm-hmm. This is a concert. You're just here watching us. What are practical steps that we can take to try and prevent that from creeping into our churches?
I think you just need to come as you are, you know? And I think we've gotten to the point where we've seen mass media with all these insanely awkward worship music videos where they always focus in
their
on
hands up like this.
They're always in a circle, or like just going wild or whatever. Yeah, they're always in a circle. So it's like you look and you're like, that's not the goal, or whatever. Because then that's just like, well, if I lift my hands up and do a certain thing, then maybe either I'll be seen more or I'll be blessed more or something like that. But I'm like, it's not about that. It's just come as you are. And this is going like structure wise of like a worship service, say it's. I think there needs to be some sort of boundary, but I also think if the Spirit is moving and working, we shouldn't just say, we're done with song, cut it. You know what I mean? We should leave space for the Spirit to move and work in us. And sometimes that might mean the schedule of the service might be broken up a little bit. It might not go back.
It might go longer than an hour.
So, but that's the thing that I kind of took away from going from like, my grand, well, actually I can't even say that because we experienced a lot of stuff that you could compare to a Pentecostal church at my grandpa's church, which we were Wesleyan pretty much. And it was wild. So I came to here and I came to this other, like a Pentecostal church. I was like, well, doing this already or whatever, but it seemed a little bit more
so
not
when you say
a little more genuine,
leaving space, what does that mean? Like adding a song on the fly, adding another chorus? I mean, like when you say that, what do you mean for us dummies that don't know? Like what does that look like? Because there was one when you did that, you did Jesus Paid It All on the guitar.
And you were on stage.
And you came back.
I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, you came back and you said, let's do that again. Like we did it in like a very worship leader way. And it was phenomenal. I mean, because it was something that doesn't usually get done at our services. Like no one takes that kind of freedom. But it was just like the right thing to do. And I'll say it publicly in front of the tens of listeners we'll have for this. That was really awesome. And I mean, if that's what you mean, I didn't know what you meant because it was very moving to me because I was playing and I was like, I know this feels right. Let's go.
Yeah. I think it's just, it's watching like the leader or whoever's singing the song or whatever is intentionally just watching the room And that's also what the leader is also engaging with the congregation. So it's not like we're separate from that. We're all together. If you're like, you're seeing like this song or whatever, something is moving.
Like every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't quench it. Cause that could like, God could be like really working in someone. So you should be like, I'm just going to sing this one more time.
Right.
And like, just let people just soak it in some more. And I think we're too fine line. Nothing against backtracks. I think that's the hardest part of it.
Yeah, I'm not all for backtracks. I am a lot for click track and pads.
And if we're saying backtrack and people are sitting here saying, what's a backtrack?
Backtrack is...
I know what it is because I know you guys. Tell the listeners.
Pretty much,
backtrack. Yeah. A backtrack is...
So you explain it.
People record songs. There's an individual track for each of those instruments, and there's a track for the choir. There's a track for the alto and the tenor, and each one of those can be either turned on or turned off.
Yeah.
And
so it's playing behind the...
It's playing behind, team. Exactly, yep. And so if you don't have a drummer on a Sunday, you can still have drums, which I think is a stupid idea.
Yes, I went, so when we were doing church planning, we went to a couple different other church plants.
What?
They had no drummer, and the drums were cranked. Like, the track was cranked. I'm sitting there, like, just don't have a drummer.
Like, maybe put in the percussion track, but don't put in the full drum kit.
So at this point.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
See, we could go on for a long time about this.
I'm realizing that this is not a one-episode deal.
Yeah.
Cut it up.
Yeah. That's okay. We can record the whole thing and, like, chop it up or whatever. But it was like. But I just think,
Can I ask you another question that's not meant to be combative, but I'm just curious. Like, Greg, for example, going back to the example about the Jesus paid it all. I mean, I thought that was money. And you said reading the room. So how do you thread the needle between trying to read the room and be worshipful and not manipulating something that could have been a spiritual? I mean, how do you think about that? Or is it just, maybe the thing is not to think too much about it, but I guess I just don't know what.
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess I shouldn't say typically. I've never been in the Brandon or Andrew situation of actually being the person leading the congregation. But there's something about when a song is coming to the end of a chorus or a song is coming to the end of a bridge and you just feel like, this is not done. This specific thing, God's not done with this part right here. Yeah. He wants us to worship him more in this specific thing. And we don't have to stop here. We can do this chorus again. We need to say Jesus paid it all because we need reminded that Jesus paid it all.
Yeah.
And so there's just something about lyrics that biblically.
Would you say lyrics over the music? I mean, is that really? 100%. It's got to be what it is, right?
100%.
I'll tell you what. I don't think that I would ever review a song just to be like, oh, well, I don't like this chord progression or I don't like this melody, so we're not going to do it. Whereas I read the lyrics and they either contradict scripture or just don't really say anything useful, I will throw it out.
I can tell you there are a number of songs I cannot stand the way it's written, melodically and structured the way it is, but the lyrics are amazing. And then eventually you just keep listening to those lyrics and they just pound home and it's like, all right, I get it. I understand now.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
100%. Cause there's songs I play that I'm like, man, this sucks. Like, I'm like, it's boring. But then,
would you say hymns are in that category?
No.
Well, I mean, lyrically they're great, but like structurally or chord progression wise, they're just archaic or a little more wooden.
I think they're just simple, and people will sometimes just play them as simply as possible, and that could feel repetitive and dry.
Sure.
But you can also do a lot.
Yeah, I think you really can.
There's so much you can do with a hymn.
Yeah, hymnal is something that you really get back on your investment. If you put a lot into it, you're going to get a lot out.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go back to something that Brandon said. When you were talking about being worried about being manipulative in like extending a song or doing something that we would feel is spirit-led and being careful about that. Because I've been kept up at night about this kind of thing before.
Yes.
and like fought with myself on it.
Yes.
I think that it's easy to forget that like that's the responsibility of a worship leader. You're leading worship. That's not manipulating. Yeah. That is technically leading. It's like a shepherd is not manipulating sheep by guiding them to water or by guiding them to the grass. That is literally the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the other side of that coin
is
that it's about your motives.
Yes.
I think that if you're up there to be a rock star, if you're up there to show off, if you're up there because you've lost all interest, but it's the job and you're just doing it to go through the motions because maybe you are a staff worship leader at a big church that can pay you full time, but you don't have it anymore and you're just going through the motions.
Yeah.
Then all you're doing is manipulating, even when you're going through exactly what you planned at practice the night before or whatever.
Sure.
I just want to say, if you're making sure that you're taking care of your plank before the speck, if you're worshiping, if you're the one that is leading by example, then I don't think there's any manipulation you can do. I mean, obviously none of us are perfect. We're going to screw up. We're going to come at it with a bad heart at some point. We're going to let personal stuff in and screw it up sometimes. If your goal is to first worship and then to lead others to worship, then anything after that is, it's going to be artistic. It's going to be things that as long as you're, trying not to be distracting, working to do as good a job as you can with the tools you've been given, then you're doing it right.
Yeah.
I would say as right as a human can do it.
Yeah. I have a negative example personally that if we're making it about a show, right? That means the leaders on stage, like you said, like the leaders on stage, musicians, they have to look insanely perfect. And there was a time where I was really struggling. And I'm not one to hide my struggle, you know? And I'm sitting here, like, and this is under a leader. This is under the leader of the church plant I went to. Okay. I'm not going to mention names. But I was like, he came up to me after that service. He's like, "Were you having a hard time?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, I'm struggling right now." He's like, "Well, we could really tell on stage," kind of like passive aggressively to me. I was like, "Well, what do you expect? Like, you expect me to put something like put a face on for you? Like, cause I'm not gonna. I'm like, if I'm struggling, this moment is just as much for me as it is for everyone else. So I'm like, I'm not. I will not. Like, I don't know. To me, that just is like." As a worship leader, sometimes worship leaders look like the man in the high tower. They're untouchable, and they're not like you. But we're just as much, like worship leaders, they're just as much the congregation as the congregation is to the worship leader, you know? Like, we're all one. We're people. What do you expect? Like, that's why I was like, I'm never going to put on a front. Or whatever. Like, and I have. I definitely have. But at that point, I was just like, no, or whatever. I'm like, I won't. Like, because people need to understand, like, worship is, like, there's a part of worship that it's God speaks to us through music. Like, we talk about universal languages. I think music is a universal language. You can go to Brazil.
I would have gone with Amazing Grace, Iron but Maiden I get it.
In English. And they can bear, I'm just trying to give an example. Like Iron Maiden's a big deal in Brazil, right? So it's like,
but they can sing the song perfectly.
But then they can't speak a lick of English after that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you can go to other places like that, and it's like, so it's like, the music is going to like draw things out in us, whether that be manipulated by like the structure of a song or the Holy Spirit is drawing us closer. In relationship and closer into the presence of God. So it's like, just bring your, like I said, come as you are. If you're worship leading and you're having a hard time, come Because Jesus will speak to you through the Holy Spirit, and he will draw, and he will comfort you, and he will work through
there was,
you
there
through this
that,
time. But you just be just
did
come.
That really was beneficial to me. And there were some services where they're like, hey, like, well, they would, it would be like longer, just music services. But it was like, hey, if you need to come down and you need to pray and you need prayer or you need prayed over, like, you can put your instrument down. You can put your microphone down and come get prayer.
Yeah.
Because it's not, it's like, we know that you need it too. Yeah. It's not like there, it's not just the congregation that needs this prayer.
Yeah.
Like, you're struggling. That's okay. Come get prayed for. So there, that I really appreciated that aspect for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.